Good morning, good morning. Well, the cold's not getting that much better, but I got some better cough medicine today, so I hope that I won't cough too much on you. And we'll see how this goes. Again, I'm not going to make it super long, so we're going to look at Luke 6, verses 17 through 26, and it's the beginning of a sermon that Jesus gives. They call it Sermon on the Plain. And so let me get some verses in here and start with a prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, help me, Lord, to be able to speak through this message, Lord, and keep my voice straight. Help me not to be a distraction to the message, Lord, and to give you all the praise and thanks. Thank you, Lord, so much for all you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'd forgotten how bad it is to have a common cold. I don't think I've had a cold in years, so I guess I've been lucky. Okay, so let's bring some verses over. And starting in verse 17, and he came down with them and stood in the plain, in the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him, and to be healed of their diseases. And you can imagine that the word of mouth is really getting around, that Jesus is quite a prophet and healer. And unlike, he had quite the draw, and so whenever he got a good group of good people together, of course he's going to speak the message also. And many, I'm sure, were saved during these periods of time. But this one here is called, you notice it says, and stood in the plain. So it sounds like it's an open area. It's not a raised area of any kind. And when you go over to the Matthew, what they call Sermon on the Mount, the opening stanza of that is Matthew 5:1. And seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. He went on to give the probably the longest sermon ever given by Jesus in the Bible. It actually encompasses all chapters 5, 6, and 7 in Matthew, and ends up being this one here in Luke is only 29 verses. We're only going to do half today. And in Matthew, there's 111 verses. That's how long it is. But there's a lot of similarities, so it's almost you almost can think, well, maybe they're both the same. It's just that Luke decided not to include everything. I don't think he would do that. And I think that it just speaks of the fact that there's some things that God, that Jesus always spoke on that were really important that he got to the people. So every sermon he gave had those same elements. It's just that on the Sermon on the Mount, he added a lot to it. Okay, verse 6:18. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. I love that the virtue went out of him. That's pretty interesting. And I started realizing that it seems like that whenever Jesus heals, and I thought about it. I'm not sure that it actually took energy out of him, like it made him weaker or anything, but that he noticed that presence in it. And I guess it's another way of looking at the fact that when Jesus forgives us, he died on the cross for our sins, that he took that sinful nature on himself, and to cleanse us from our sins, and that this is in a similar way that he's taken that disease, an infection, and taking it upon himself and cleansing the person that had it. So it's a great love that he had there, that he cared so much for us that he would be willing to do that, take it upon himself to heal us. And I never really realized to notice that before, but it's also over in Matthew 4:23. You may If you've been studying for a while, you remember this story about the woman. And there was a big crowd. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were a lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. Now, this is the parallel verse for the one we're studying. I realize I haven't got to that bridge yet. I'll get that in a second. Also talking about this passage in Matt and Luke, it's also in Mark 3, 7 through 12. But Jesus withdrew himself with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea, and from Jerusalem, and from Idumea, and from beyond Jordan, and they about Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude. When they had heard what great things he did, they came unto him. And he spake to his disciples that a small ship should wait on him because of the multitude, lest they should throng him. For he had healed many, insomuch that they pressed upon him for to touch him, as many as had plagues. The unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God. And he straightway charged them that they should not make him known. He's getting a lot of popularity, and it's probably a little bit too early in some of these cases. But back to Luke, this is that verse 19 again about the virtue. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them. So just a touch was able to heal. And just a request to be one of his children gets us healed. Great little analogy there. But it was over in Luke 8, 45 and 46 that I was talking about. And Jesus said, Who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? Now, there must have been a really big group of people around. And so he was in a crowd. But he could tell that somebody touched him. And in 46 here, and Jesus said, Somebody hath touched me, for I have perceived that virtue has gone out of me. That story goes on to say that a woman that had a disease had touched her skirt, and then she actually kind of apologized. I just read through it. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. And so that's the story of a woman that was healed just while walking along and being able to touch Jesus. I can see the symbology anyways. So on to Luke 6:20. And this is where that sermon starts. And we're going to take the first six verses today. It's called the Beatitudes. It's blessings and woes. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. A parallel verse for this in Matthew 5:3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Some of these are going to show the parallel verse in Matthew just to show that there's a similarity. Luke 6:21. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. And this one here, the Matthew account has a little bit more information, and is also in James. Matthew 5:3. Blessed are the poor in spirit. So it's about spirit, not physically. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 6, Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So it's about your spirit and your drive to be one of his. It's not so much a physical need, but a spiritual need. we're talking about here. And also in James 2:5, this would be Jesus' brother. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? Okay, verse 22 of Luke. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil, for the Son of Man's sake. Parallel verse for this one over in Matthew is 5:11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. And someplace else, Jesus also goes on to say that they're going to hate you because they hated me first. If you're in love with me and not in the world, for the love of the world, they love their own. And that's why they hate us, because we love Jesus. And I'm starting to see that more and more as time goes on. Okay, verse 23. Rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Parallel verse in Matthew 5:12. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Now you can see there's a lot of similarities between them. But again, we're talking only, you know, half a dozen verses, where in Matthew it goes, if you ever get a chance to read through it, it's quite a sermon. It's chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew. Okay, verse 24 of Luke 6. But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. And I couldn't help but think, this reminded me of a statement that was made during that story that Jesus told about the rich man and Lazarus. And I'll just read one verse out of it. It's Luke 16:25. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest the good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. That's about spiritual. But this is a story Jesus told. And because he used real names, it's not a parable. It's reality. And the reality of the fact that if you don't accept the Lord Jesus Christ now, that you may go to that other place of torment. And it's not a pleasant existence. Okay, verse 25 of Luke 6. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. So in other words, if you're chasing all worldly possessions and worldly power, you're in the long run, you're going to suffer, because you're going to be in that place and no one wants to go in the end. James 5, 1 through 3 has a great companion to this. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupt, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and your rust of them shall be witness against you. It shall eat your flesh as it were a fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. That's so true. That as the old saying goes, you can't take it with you. You know, why concentrate on riches? That's not to say that we don't want to prepare for the future and then be ready for any emergencies or things that come up in our lives. No, that's not what it's saying. But when the love of money is your main goal in life, then you need to readdress who you're following, the world or Christ. And there's only two choices. Okay, Luke 6:26. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. Yeah, be careful about people that they give you a great review. They may, their underlying reasons for doing it are probably evil. Good companion verses over in John 15:19. If ye were of the world, this is what I was talking about earlier, the world would love his own. Because you are not of this world, For I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than the Lord. If thou have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If you have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. I think I'll finish reading this. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. This is Jesus talking, by the way. If I had not come and spoken unto him, and had not sinned, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. So I think I'll leave it there. But good words to remember. Also in Romans, Paul says, verse 16, 18, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own bellies, and by good works and their fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Okay. So all my voice is going to let me do today. So that was it. That's all I had planned for anyways. This week will be a little on the short side. So, but I'll keep them coming as long as my voice holds out. So let's have a prayer. Thank you, Lord, so much for this time we get to look at your word, Lord. And thank you so much for these wise words to remember that when we set our sights on you, Lord, that that's where our eyes should be and not on the world. And that we should always look to you for our guidance. And we give you the praise and thanks. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And I mention, is anyone listening that has not known the Lord, has not sought to be a disciple of the Lord and to be have a relationship with the Lord, stay tuned after this. Is a short video that I made earlier, but so my voice will be that better, and talking about how you too can get to heaven. And so I hope to see you then, my friend. And if you have any questions, please text me. Our email is on the website, and or text me through Facebook, either way. And I'd love to answer any questions anyone has. And we will talk to you later. Have a great day.